And we'll commence our reading from verse 1, Judges 8 and verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, that is Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel, and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the host of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon the son of Joash returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel, and slew the men of the city. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Amen. May God bless His word to us. Well, the last time, last week, when we considered this passage before us, we only looked at the first three verses of this chapter. And what I mentioned to you was that in this portion of God's word, we see how people respond to one another. That the response of God's people against challenges and discouragements is very much different to the response of the world. We should be different. The way we react to things should be different. And here it was that Ephraim responded in a very unhelpful way. And they came and challenged Gideon. And they were ready to destroy Gideon. But Gideon, by his godly response, he managed to win his brethren over. And he brought about peace. And my friends, we must learn from these things. Your response to challenges and people who come against you and things that come in your life should be very much different to the reactions of the world. It should be a biblical reaction, a Christ-like reaction. And so here we learn something, and I won't go into this as we discussed it the last time. Now, this evening we want to take up the readings or the verses following verse 3, verses 4 onwards, to look at other responses, other challenges, other situations. There are different characters, different people who are mentioned here. And again, we see the responses. And there are lessons here for us to take on board. And here, from verses 4 to 9, we learn of people who were unprincipled. So we had in Ephraim people who were high-minded. They thought so highly of themselves. They thought, why were we not asked to go? We should have been asked, and so on. They thought themselves of being so great that God should use them. They had the right to be used. And so they were high-minded, and Gideon gave them that godly response. But here we have people who are unprincipled. They're unprincipled people. They have, for themselves, they again think that personal preferences and personal gain is, it goes beyond and it trumps principle of God's word and being part of the people of God. And here you have this request that Gideon makes in verses 4 and 5. Let us read it. And Gideon, verse 4, came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zebah and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. So as Gideon and his men, again, they were 300 men. See, through that period of time, those 300 men did not diminish. They didn't leave and say, we have done our job and so now we can go off and do our own business now. No, they didn't. They continued on with the Lord's servant. And they continued on in their pursuit of the Midianites. They wouldn't give up. The Christians don't give up. And Gideon, he becomes concerned about the welfare of these men. And that is encouraging. He cares for them. He has a pastoral heart for them. And so they passed two towns. First, they came to Succoth, that we read. And then they come to Peniel. And at each point, at each town, Gideon made a simple and very reasonable request of his fellow Israelites. They were his people. They're part of the tribes of Israel. They were not strangers, as it were. They were not people who were Gentiles or anything like that. They were outwardly speaking, supposed to be God's people. And he asked them for bread to feed his weary men. Where, after all, they were the ones who were pursuing the enemies of the whole of the tribes of Israel. And so he asked for bread. And this was a request that should have been granted without hesitation. Here are our brothers who are trying to fight our battles. Let us help them. We can help them. Let us help them. But no, there was this shameful refusal that you read in verses 6 and also then later verse 8. It says, and the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And then verse 8, and he went up thence to Penuel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. Instead of coming to the aid of God's chosen deliverer and the servants of the Lord, the elders of both towns refused to get involved. They didn't want to be involved in Gideon's fight. You see, by simply, Gideon didn't ask them to get into the fight. They said, we need help. Give us some bread. My men are weary. Help them. Encourage them in their way. These men, you see, are, as it were, trying or playing politics with things of God. These are men who are unprincipled, we could say. They ask Gideon, well, do you have these kings in your custody? Is their hand in your hand? Have you got them? In other words, they are saying, if you don't have their kings, you haven't really won the battle. It's too early for us to decide. If we help you and you are defeated, those kings will come after us and we will pay a terrible price for our decision to side with you and to help you. But my friends, these were all their enemies. They were going to get them afterwards. They were going to seek to enslave them afterwards. And so, sadly, they think wrongly, falsely, selfishly. No, they say, you are not getting any bread from us. You won't get any help from us. And friends, both of these cities are part of that region which was part of the tribe of Gad. Their name means a troop. That's what Gad means, a troop. Especially it's a name that refers to a troop that crushes through the enemy. And the fact is that these men were not living up to their name. They were not living up to their heritage. They would not even help the man of God whom the Lord had chosen to deliver them from their enemies in his fight for deliverance. See, they should have, but they don't. They don't live up to their names. A Christian, a man of God, a woman of God should live up to that name. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have certain principles. There are certain things that guide our ways. And we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not following him whenever it suits us. No. We have submitted to him and he has shown us his love first. And so we love him every step of the way. It's not an easy way, but it's a way that is motivated by our love for him and by grace. But these men, they were like these many unprincipled people in our day. Unprincipled people in places of authority. Unprincipled people even in churches. Unprincipled politicians of our day who have to see which way the wind is blowing before they make their own decision. Oh, is this going to lose us some votes? Is this going to cause us trouble? Are we going to be receiving some bad press? They were afraid to stand before the Lord and for the Lord. And this can happen in homes too. It can happen within our families too. Instead of following godly and biblical principles, a mother could say, well, for the sake of peace, we will not do such and such. I won't say such and such a thing. Or a father would say, well, for the sake of peace, I'm not going to bring this up, or I'm not going to press this issue, which is the teaching of the Word of God. No, I won't do that. Or children can do likewise and say, well, no, if we say such and such a thing, my parents will not support me in this, or they will not agree with such and such a thing. And so let's take the easy option. Let's take the easy option so that we may appease everybody, keep everyone happy, and don't cause any kind of disgruntlement within the family. Let's just not follow the principle of the Word of God. Well, in all of these things, friends, we need so much wisdom from the Lord and so much grace from the Lord. And here, where people seemed to be detached from what God was doing, and they were detached from principles as well. These are our brothers. These are fighting on our side. They are fighting for us. And all they're asking for is bread. And so, and to love our neighbor as ourselves wasn't a principle in their thought. And when the people of Succoth and Penuel refused to support God's work, they were clearly demonstrating the fact that they were against God's work. There's nothing neutral in this situation. When they refused to help Gideon and his army, they were actually guilty of giving aid to the enemy. These people were not thankful for what God had already done. Like those Ephraimites, they only wanted to find fault with Gideon and to protect their own little kingdoms and little causes. They failed to realize that by giving bread to Gideon, they would be guaranteeing future blessings for their own people. All they cared about was maintaining some sort of a status quo. And friends, this is nothing that happened only in those days. Throughout the history, throughout our lifetime as well, there are still people around who do the same things these cities did. There are people who played politics, and they say, well, which way is it going to be most suitable for me? Which way is the wind blowing? And so, there are no, as it were, gray areas, at least in this matter, when it comes to the work of the Lord. You can't be neutral when it comes to serving the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ puts it like this. He said in Matthew 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. That's quite blunt, isn't it? He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Those who refuse to support God's work will not support those who do serve Him. Those who do not respect the work of God will not respect the workers of God. When we refuse to give to the work of the Lord, when we refuse to participate in the work of the Lord, and when we refuse to respect the work of the Lord, just because we are looking out for our own interests first, we are then guilty of aiding the enemy in this work. We are slowing down things. So these are some of the lessons that we learn from this section. But look again of this solemn response that Gideon makes. He says in verses 7 and 9, some very serious, heart-searching things. Because these cities refuse to help him and help the cause of God, Gideon tells them that they will face judgment when he returns as the victor over the Midianites. So he reminds them that there is a price to pay for standing against the Lord and against His work. And that's always the case, my friends. It is the Lord teaches His children who disobey lessons too. And it is interesting the wording that is used later on, how it says that that he taught the men of Succoth in verse 16. It says, and he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. My friends, there is a kind of teaching that goes on in God's people which is painful. It comes through pain, and this is something, you know, people say, well, in our day and age, we don't discipline children in the way the Scripture says. We just teach them in other ways. But my friends, there's a lesson learned. Here is the word taught is used. And we the Lord teaches us lessons through at times through pains as well. And so we should learn, we would do well to learn that truth about this solemn response of Gideon. One day we will all stand before the Lord to give an account of ourselves, to give an account of our service, giving an account of our lives before the Lord. What kind of an account would we give? Better that we would give account for doing His work, even when we fail, even when we are opposed and we feel our weaknesses, but if we even die in the process and think that maybe we have not achieved anything for the Lord, but if I die in the way of service for the Savior, that is enough. We read in the scriptures in Romans 14 and verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Or in Hebrews 13, 17, again, we are told of they who must give an account, that they should do it with joy and not with grief. And it's reference to elders. But another thing that we should take on board is that God has saved us for work. Are you converted? Are you a Christian? Then God doesn't save people and keep them like that to be useless. God has, when He saves someone, He then makes them to be workers. We read in James chapter 2 and verse 18, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." It says that after a person believes, trusts in the Lord, works follow as well. Or in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we have said this before, God places us in His work, for we are His workmanship. He says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, studying that portion, I found it quite interesting where it says about workmanship. What is that? Do you know that we get the English phrase poem from this word? This word that is translated workmanship. It is poimia. And it comes from that Greek term that one of its meaning is, it means poem, but here the chief meaning means workmanship. And I thought to myself, well, just as each poem is an individual creation of the poet, so we are individual creations, not produced by a sort of a production line in a factory, everybody the same. Praise God, we are not like each other. Praise God, not everyone is like me. But God has created you individually, if you're a child of God, with certain gifts and graces and temperaments, so that you might serve Him in your position that you are in. Don't try to be like someone else as far as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you follow, but don't try to mimic them in other ways, in their personalities and their characteristics. Seek to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in the things that the Lord has blessed you with. And that's what I thought was helpful from that. Just the word poem and how it is the creation of the poet. And God expects us to be involved and involved to do the best in our ability. And think about it. Here were people who wouldn't give even bread, they won't give. And what is bread? They just asked for something simple. He didn't say, "Go and kill your fatted calf." He didn't say, "Come and join us in the army and leave your family behind." He didn't say any of those kinds of things, just bread. And you think about the things that you have, the gifts that God has given to you. If you're a Christian, God has given you certain gifts to serve Him. Well, how are you using them? How are you using that? How are you using it for the extension of God's kingdom? How are you using it so that unconverted folk would hear about the Lord, that the church would benefit, that for the progress of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, locally and worldwide, give those things that God has given to you, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch Him bless it and multiply it for His own glory. And there are those of your brothers and sisters who are seeking to fight and serve. They're in certain positions, there are certain situations where they're under great pressures. You think about those who are working in certain spheres of civil service or schools or so on. They need your support and help. They are in situations of great pressure. They need wisdom from the Lord. They need help from the Lord. Well, be their support and encouragement. Pray. And there are situations you can give financially. You can say a word of encouragement to one another. You can do something. Our inactivity does not merely not help the church, but it helps the enemy. It damages the cause. Never, ever be found hindering, opposing, or standing in the way of what God is doing in the world. Maybe never, like these people, be guilty of refusing to serve the Lord out of fear. Let us live up to the name Christian. So that is one thing from this another thing from this passage. There were these people who were unprincipled, and we face people like that. And let us ourselves be people who follow the principles of the Word of God, follow the principle of the gospel. Let us love the brethren. Let us love those who are of the Lord and love them sincerely. Now, another point is this, that yes, there were people who were high-minded. There were people who were unprincipled. But there were people, too, who were persistent. Persistency is described here. Look at verse 4 again. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And then we pick up verses 10 onwards, how they pursued after the Midianites and captured their kings and so on. While some people were high-minded and prideful, and others were allowing personal preferences and agendas to determine their allegiance, Gideon and his men simply persevered in their work for the Lord. I don't know about you at this moment in time, but are you weary at the moment? Are you ready to give up? Maybe there are ways that you think, well, I can pass the baton on to someone else, and yet you could do it, but you're maybe discouraged in some ways. Could they be like that? Maybe you're faint. You feel you can't continue on? Well, here were a people that we can be encouraged in. In their persistence, they set a good example for those of us who desire to be found faithful in the Lord's work. How did they continue? Think about it. Look at it. They still pass over. They still come. They still go together as a band of brothers. Instead of being discouraged, and they have so much to be discouraged in, and yet they have so much victory behind them too. They have the promises of the presence of God and the promises of the Word of God that you will be victorious. We've seen that before. But instead of being discouraged by the Ephraimites and by the callousness of those two cities from their own brethren, when they asked for help, Gideon and his army still pressed on in pursuit of the enemies of the Lord, the Midianites. And you think about that phrase, faint yet pursuing them. Isn't it wonderful? And may it be said of some of us here, you say, well, I'm faint. But may the following words continue in faint. This man, this woman is faint, but yet he's pursuing. These men were tired. They were weary from the battle. They were hungry and in great need of rest. Yet they carry on. They face discouragements from others, and still there are discouragements ahead of them that they will face. They don't know what is ahead of them. Yet they learn, we must learn from their untiring attitude. Well, do we sit back when others are laboring and needing help? When call goes out, there's help here needed. Something that I often see today, and I think Mr. Hayam on the Lord's Day mentioned some things and challenged the congregation about the very same things. He didn't know what I was preaching, obviously. But he was saying the same kind of things. What are we doing with our life? In what way are we serving the Lord? In what way are we being salt and light in this world? Or are we just stepping back and letting others do it and say, well, I'm not really gifted, I can't do anything. Well, can we not learn? And some of you have said to me, well, could we get certain things, certain sound system and the various other things sorted out? Well, I've never done anything like that, but I thought, well, I can learn, I can look into it. Well, can't we not learn about certain things and see how we can do better and be creative? And I think about some of older generations, which are rapidly passing, sadly, and I feel some of the principles of the past is rapidly passing as well, of those who are still faithful in their 70s and 80s and 90s, still faithful, still praying, still seeking with zeal, and they have commitment than some of the younger ones. And we have to say, why is that? And we have to challenge ourselves and say, no, I will learn. I will also be with my older brothers and sisters in commitment and zeal. I will join my strength with theirs. Are we in any way backing off, slowing down, taking it easy, and giving up fight, maybe giving up fight against sin, and fighting against unbelief that is around us, and think, well, they are not going to be saved. They are not going to be. Look at all the enemies around, and look at all the people who are unconverted, and they are not going to change. Well, what were we before? Such were some of you. Was not I an idolater and a heathen and a pagan? And you would have thought, well, no, he won't be saved. He's too steeped into it. No, God is gracious and sovereign. Let us be found then with the right attitude. Let us have this attitude of pursuing, not giving up. Be like Gideon and his men. You may say, well, we are only 300. Well, we are not 300. But in comparison, that they gave up thousands of others. But they, in comparison to the enemies, there are very few in number. But let us not give up. You see, it is little foxes that spoil the vine, but also it is small people who do great things for God also. It can work both ways. We have the little David who slays the giant, and you have the little Zacchaeus who comes and follows the Lord, and all kinds of other people that we see who were weak. Gideon is a picture of it too. Fearful and at the beginning, but the Lord worked in him. So, when we get weary, well, my friends, press on still, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking His help and strength. Do the will of God from the heart, as it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 6. Or another thing you can meditate on, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He says always, not when it suits you, when you are feeling healthy and well, and when you've got time. No, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We all grow weary from time to time in the battle. And when we do, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we learn of His example. We can read Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. So if we don't do that, we will become weary and we become faint in our minds. My friends, we are only in this world for a short time, and then we will fly away to glory to be with him. And while we are here, let us determine to do all that we can for God's glory. John Wesley famously encouraged the young saints. He said these words that you would have heard before many times. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And how true this is. We should meditate on these things. And then you see how they conquered. Gideon and his men defeated their enemies. Verses 10 to 12, we see this. They, by God's grace, became victorious over these, even so many still which were left. They persevered in the face of opposition and criticism, and then they enjoyed a great victory because they won't stop. What if they gave up further before? But the Lord enabled them to continue. They saw God move in great power. Those who refuse to quit and persist in following the Lord's will for their lives will see him doing great things in great ways. That's his promise, isn't it? It's not wishful thinking and just being positive. It's nothing like that at all. Somebody said to me recently, I'm sending you positive energy. I don't know how they did it, but my friends, we get our strength from the Lord. And here in Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Or in 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 8 and 9, you have similar language. Or in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, you read, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those who persevere will enjoy the best of God's blessing. I'm not saying that things will be all fine for them and they will be always happy and things all work out for them. But the best of things is walking with God, knowing that you are in the will of God and the presence of God. Those are the things. And this is how they concluded in verses 13 to verse 21. Gideon comes back with the Midianite kings. And then he comes to Succoth. He took those 75 elders and put them to death by dragging them through thorns and briars. When he comes to Penuel, he tore down their towers and killed their elders. And judgment comes even through the Lord's servant. And Matthew Henry says this, he said about this section, the active servants of the Lord meet with more dangerous opposition from false professors than from open enemies, but they must not care for the behavior of those who are Israelites in name, but Midianites in heart. They must pursue the enemies of their souls and of the cause of God, though they are ready to faint through inward conflicts and outward hardships, and they shall be enabled to persevere. The less men help, and the more they seek to hinder, the more will the Lord assist. Gideon's warning being cited, the punishment was just, Many are taught with the briars and thorns of affliction who would not learn otherwise. Well, if you had to sum up your life together and today, how would you do? Would you say that you are walking in any of those people that you have seen, in the life of those people that you have seen? Are you a person who is high-minded, thinking of your own cause first? Or maybe unprincipled? Certain things, for the sake of peace, you will say, no, I won't deal with this. I won't join hands with such and such a thing. It may not work well for me. Would you say everything in your life is about personal advantage? Or can you honestly say that you're doing your best by faith, trusting in the grace of God to be persistent in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? God is looking for a people, my friends, and calling at a people for His own name and for His own sake to stand with Him and for Him in this day and age in which we are living in. May we be those who say, we will not back down in this life. And the Lord is looking for those who will get involved in His work and help those who are trying to serve Him. Are you one of those? Well, if the Lord has spoken to us, then we ought to give Him praise and thanks and ask Him to bless His word further to each one of us for His own glory. Well, may the Lord then be with us and help us now. Amen.